This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
The wheel turns again and again. Watch out, it will take you through. And nothing dies forever. Nature is the renewer. The wheel turns again and again. If you're ready, it will take you through. Where there's fear, there is power. Passion is the healer. Desire cracks open the gate. If you're ready, it will take you through. And nothing lasts forever. Time is the destroyer. The wheel turns again and again. Watch out, it will take you through. And nothing dies forever. Nature is the renewer. The wheel turns again and again. When you're ready, it will take you through. Where there's fear, there is power. Passion is the healer. Desire cracks open the gate. If you're ready, it will take you through. And nothing lasts forever. Time is the destroyer. The wheel turns again and again. Watch out, it will take you through. And nothing dies forever. Nature is the renewer. The wheel turns again and again. When you're ready, it will take you through. When you're ready, it will take you through. When you're ready, it will take you through.
Good morning.
And good morning.
It's 8:01 in Cascadia. You're listening to KBOO in Portland, and I'm Lynn, and I'm here with...
Well, I'm Ani, and good morning. It's a fine Friday morning to be alive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is. Here we are, looking at you from your community radio station, KBOO Portland, and...
The fifth in the 5 mornings that we do of Progressive Talk Radio every single week.
As we have for 20 years and more now, mm-hmm. actually. But, you know, enough about that. You can always get your fill on KBOO for your Progressive Talk Radio needs. Just wanted to let you know also that this morning we're going to be talking about...
Here on Positively Revolting
Indeed.
Talk Radio.
Abortion restrictions, abortion rights, the larger picture of reproductive rights. Why does no one really ever talk about it? Why is it always just abortion for it or against it, which is, well, an important argument, but perhaps an inadequate one. I want to actually talk about full reproductive rights, full reproductive choices, and full reproductive freedoms. I don't think really most people in this country can actually fathom out what that is. What does that mean? 20 years ago, we would talk about it in feminist community. But I think that in this day and age, we have been so battered in just trying to maintain the minimums of access to safe legal abortion that we no longer talk about the bigger picture of reproductive rights in general. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about full rights for a child to be born or not be born. If that child is born, all those people that were so concerned about the rights of that pre-born child, as they call it. That's a pre-born child. Well, all those concerns seem to fly out the window just about as soon as that little tyke is born into this world. Then it's got to raise itself by its own bootstraps. It's no longer a precious little angel. It's now tainted by original sin, I think. But what is that about? So this is sort of our discussion this morning. We've got a lot of different state statutes to look at. We've got a lot of different questions for you, dear listener, about the patriarchy and how all of these things fit together, how it is that people who are virulently anti-choice when it comes to abortion also promote abstinence-only education, also are against birth control in general. So it's not really the pre-born child you're concerned about, is it? It's about controlling the woman's sexuality isn't it? So these are the issues, I don't know, I personally am interested in talking about this morning with you, in fact, dear listener. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Lynn, I know that you, too, have no rent control today.
Well, I'd really like to know what problems folks, our listeners, have had getting their reproductive rights, getting the medical care that they need and that they want on demand. What problems have you had with that? What great experiences have you had with that? We'd like to know just what your experiences are, because that's part of the conversation, and we want to share this. We want to this be the discussion that isn't happening on other parts of the media, because that's one of the things we do here at KABU.
Indeedly. In the first 6 months of 2013, states enacted 106 provisions related to reproductive health and rights. Issues related to abortion, family planning, and sex education. Only 43 provisions aimed at restricting access to abortion. Notice that most of these positions tried to eliminate contraception and sex education. It's not just about abortion anymore. This is from an article posted to Alternet. Why this relentless assault on abortion in the U.S. is the title of that article. I recommend it to everyone. It really gets into that whole patriarchal construct. It also sets the stage for knowing that really, yeah, abortion rights, it's been the tip of the iceberg, but it's no longer where the anti-choice, pro-patriarchalist crowd is content to stay. They want to make sure that we don't talk about sex, period. Ooh, can I say period? No. I mean, it's just one of those things that I find, what century are we living in? I can't quite fathom how anyone is promoting abstinence-only education and thinking that's a good idea.
There's a great picture on Google Images. I wanted to use it on our page today, but it was copyrighted and I couldn't get it. And that's okay. And it's a woman sort of who's naked, but she's all we see is her covering her, can I say vagina?
I hope so, because you just did.
And saying, oops, no jobs in here. And yes. It was part of the conversation that keeps going on, that this, when we should be talking about employment and people getting, being able to support themselves and, oh, the children that they may have, we are spending all this. It's a bait and switch to me. And of course, women aren't that important. So we'll just, and also I think these folks have issues. They must
Do you
have.
Think?
I think they have some sort of birth issues or something. But it is, of course, controlling women, controlling their bodies, makes some people think they feel better, but I don't think it does, or feel more in control because they're not.
Yeah,
in a world that is reeling and flashing out of control, that somehow this will make them be stronger.
Well, do you think that's really it? Do you think that's actually what they're feeling, or is it like their last grasp of trying to control, or is it more that I suppose it's sort of all of a piece, you know, when you feel like things are out of control, you are looking for ways to make sense of it. And for this particular group of people, running for the Bible, trying to claim literal interpretation rights for it, even though the Bible doesn't really talk about abortion,
I know.
Really talk much about gays either.
Or killing people in war is fine. But
yeah. Well, the Bible does talk about how you can kill people and all manner of how you can, you know, beat your slaves. But yeah, not so much. Not so much on the other issues. Okay. 503-231-8187 is the number to call this morning.
And I'd really like women to call in, please, with your experiences.
That would be good.
It would be good.
With your experiences accessing reproductive health in general, reproductive care. Also, looking at that full expanse of reproductive rights. And I want to get into what I'm talking about more in just a moment. I want to also remind people we are on Facebook. If you would like to follow us throughout the week, check out articles, check out the rest of your community, comment with each other, actually
talk amongst yourselves,
find a little virtual positively revolting corner in this world. You could do that on Facebook, where you can find us as Positively revolting. You can also email us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. And again, 503-231-8187. Good morning, Steve. You are on the air.
Good morning, Ami. It's good to hear you. Listen, I am a Christian, and I saw the rise of this, you know, the anti-abortion thing back in the 70s. And it's interesting. My wife and I had taken in a pregnant schizophrenic girl who was in remission. And my wife coached her through childbirth. And the only help we got from the church, they didn't help with any bills. They didn't help with any counseling for her. They helped in finding a white middle-class family adopt the baby, you know. And that was it. And they just dropped it, and us. My wife then went to a friend of hers, wanted an abortion, and asked if she could just accompany her for,
support.
Because she was scared. And yeah. My wife isn't for abortion. Obviously, we're not. But she said, this is my friend. And the ugliness and the threats and the fear that the people had at the clinic because of the protesters and the violence of it was, you know, we don't have anything to do with that movement. But to talk about pro-life, I mean, you want to talk about women's reproductive issues. I think it is a broader thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the pro-life thing was interesting. I read a book on the early church in the Roman Empire and abortion. And the earliest statement against abortion was in the second century. And what the man said was, he didn't just mention abortion. He put a whole pro-life position. He says the emperor was killing the Christians because, he said, you're enemies of the state and stuff. And he's saying, listen, we don't do violence. We don't. And he mentioned abortion. We don't even watch your capital punishments. We don't become soldiers lest we are forced to, participate in these capital punishments. We give to the poor. And we don't even do so much violence as to take somebody before the courts. If you take our goods, we give them to you joyfully. But he said this, an interesting thing about why they didn't support the state. They said, what are the interests of the state but to increase its wealth and power at the expense of some other nation or people? And it must needs do this by violence.
You know, Steve, therefore, I think we're veering off the topic a little bit.
Okay. But anyway, yeah.
I have a problem with pro-life as
I was going to get to that in a minute. Okay. But go ahead. I mean, just if you could wrap up.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
The whole pro-life thing, I mean, it's a buzzword, but it came from Francis Schaeffer looking at various things that were against life. And he included oppressing the poor. He talked about being against the working class. He mentioned a lot of things like that. He mentioned, he was for some, compassion for homosexuals, saying, it's not just a choice with some of these people. And he was arguing things like this. So it became a very confused thing because they took this one button as a means of leveraging political power.
Right.
And I'm completely against that. And,
And let's face facts. I mean, that is what it has become, right? So the idea that somebody could call themselves pro-life and not ascribe to that larger bill that you are talking about, but in fact to be anti-choice when it comes to a woman's ability to access safe legal medical abortion.
And have control over her own body.
And beyond that, for them to, I mean, I'm sorry, pro-life, I didn't use it much before, but once that group, let's just say, started shooting abortion clinic workers, I can no longer consider that pro-life. Right? In any kind of respect, right? You don't care if women die. You don't care if doctors die. And when I say you, I mean the movement that that really will stop at nothing to end a woman's right to or access to safe legal medical abortion. That they're really fetishizing an embryo is what's happening, and using it for political leverage as a way to control women's bodies and women's sexuality is nothing to do with, in fact, valuing the sanctity of life.
No, and we have the highest rate of infant and early childhood mortality in the developed world,
yeah.
And I think some third world countries are better than us.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you.
Hey, thank you very much
for your call.
203-231-8187. 503-231-8187, the number to call. You can join us just like Steve did.
And I believe we have Brian on the line.
Excellent. Good morning, Brian. You're on
the
air.
Good morning, you guys. How you doing? So, listen, I just have a couple points to make. You know, number one, I participated in an abortion with a girlfriend, you know, and I was fully supportive of her decision. It was a mutual decision, mm-hmm. but ultimately, you know, I left it, you know, her final word was in her hands.
Sure.
And so anyway, you know, I think I'm pretty, I went through a lot of pretty, you know, emotional process afterwards, you know, with her and by myself. So, you know, I think I'm experiencing this. And you know, I'm a Christian, and I made a point, you know, at some, you know, decision, you know, to read the words of Christ,
mm-hmm.
which basically there's a movement in America for that, and actually China Cantner, Paul Cantner and Grace Slick's daughter from Jefferson
yes,
Airplane,
yeah.
is a big leader in that movement. And anyway, you know, there is absolutely nothing
her parents
that Christ
must be
said
thrilled.
Against abortion. And, you know, and also, you know, he was completely against murder.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, there's no justification for what, you know, what we're calling Christians in this country are doing to other people.
Thank you. Yeah, I completely concur.
And you know, I'm not trying to, like, you know, like, preach at you at all. But if you want to get this book and start being a Christian, you know, a real Christian, there's it's called The Red Letters. You can get it at Powell's. You have to special order it. And it's by a guy named Beals. He put it together.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't write it. He put it together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great, it's 130
But imagine
pages.
He didn't write it.
What's that?
I said I'd imagine he didn't write it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
but
saying.
He put it together, and there's a couple versions of it out, but this seems to be the best. And you know, I mean, if you just want Christ's words and understand what Christ said, it's not whatever, you know, all the rationalizations for war or anything else. There is no rationalization. I'd like to bring up one more thing, if I could,
sure.
Annie. When Obama was running in 2008, he said exactly what you did. Why do we, you know, why are we so vehement to allow these, you know, let these children be born and take this decision away from women, and then we let them just, we hang them out to dry.
Yeah.
You know, basically. And you know, I mean, we have a long way to go as a nation, you know, of, you know, in our humanity, and we also have a long way to go in our nation, as if we want to make it a Christian nation, we have a tremendous way to go. But these people are wrong, and you know, by their word, they're going with, you know, we're going to apply their laws to them. You know, thou shalt not kill. Period. You know, and if they go back to the Old Testament, I want to tell them this. I want to tell anybody on the radio, if you read Christ's words, he says that the Old Testament is gone. This
Brian,
is my new covenant.
Brian, I just need to stop in.
Okay,
this is really not a whole show on Christianity.
No, I know, but I mean,
so we're veering off from the point a little bit, which is women's control of
right.
their own bodies.
But basically,
and reproductive rights
against women controlling themselves is based on you know, a philosophy
right.
that is just being made up.
Absolutely, and thank you so much
okay.
for your comment.
You
we really
nice
appreciate
day.
It. Thank you
hey,
very
you
much.
You too. And I think, you know, actually, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say, I'm really glad that Stephen and Brian called to start us off this morning, because
mm-hmm.
I know in my head, and this is me, you know, admitting fault in front of a cast of millions.
We hope.
Or at least, you know, a dozen. That I often get into a little us and them in my head. Wherein I make the mistake, and it's a huge mistake, and this is the fault I'm admitting to, oh dear listeners, of generalizing Christians all over here in this one area together. And I know better than that.
You do.
I do. But I really do want to thank Brian and Steve for calling this morning and for setting the stage, reminding us that there are, in fact, a myriad ways to be Christian and not a monolithic community at all, regardless of what, in fact, the radical, fringy, extremist Christian right might have you think, where they, in fact, do tell you there is but one way to be a Christian. And they, in fact, have the answer. Isn't that funny? Right. So with that, there's so many things to talk about. I do want to thank Kristen for emailing us, saying that once again, we have hit the burning topics she has on her mind this morning. So thanks, Kristen, for sending us that feedback. It is our pleasure to do so.
And we have Laura on the line next. Laura, welcome to Positively Revolting.
Hi, thanks.
You're welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to tell you my experience about receiving pregnancy prevention or care, you know, like, and so I had been on the pill for many years because that's a very common contraception in America.
Yeah.
But I didn't like that. It's giving you artificial hormones because your body does that itself naturally. So I decided I wanted to do the IUD, the copper one. And I've never had a child before, and I was met with so much resistance because it's not common in America. And they're like, only if you've had a baby, only if you've had a baby. I had to go to so many doctors within my health. It's kind of permanente, but it was fine, before one would finally, like, put one in.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so this is just recent? I mean, how many years ago is this?
So I've had it probably 5 years.
Wow. So recently.
Yeah.
Wow, that is interesting.
I had friends who, before I got mine, they had tried to get one, and they were just told, no, they had to have had a child first. So they didn't even push back, and so they just took another form. But I'm just like, wow, you can't even say what you want for your body.
Right. Well, I mean, every type of birth control has risks and benefits, and people need to weigh them out.
Right. And I had done so much research already. So,
yeah.
I mean, I made this choice on my own. But.
And I think it's very important for, in fact, medical professionals, be they doctors or nurse practitioners or what have you, that medical professionals actually listen to the women and what they're saying about their own level of research and what they know about their own bodies and actually sort of take it on that discussion. I used to work for Feminist Women's Healthcare Clinic, and that was, in fact, our premise, is that we would work with the women and what they thought about their own bodies, as opposed to taking that more paternalistic, and I do mean paternalistic, approach of letting the ladies know what's good for them, and also
letting the ladies know what's good for them.
Which often, I gotta say, like all pharma, right? Like all big pharma, often comes because, well, gosh, that's the brand that jumped to your head, because that is the brand name on your pen and on your memo pad and on the earrings that you got at. I kid you not. I, in working for the clinic. I made an IUD earring, but that's
know,
an entirely different
that
subject.
That's what I'm saying.
That we had, a convention in town, you know, pharmaceutical companies all get around, jamboree, woo. In the exhibition area, you know, where everyone's giving away the flashing pens with the drug on it and all that stuff. Well, the name of the drug on it, at least. I got a pair of Cloison lavender orchid earrings that I thought were just so cute. They aren't those cute? Look at that. They match exactly the logo on Orthonovum's pills packets. So, you know, it's just, I mean, from the ridiculous gold Cloison Orthonovum orchid earrings to, you know, this is how many women's birth control choices are decided, because of marketing by Big Pharma, not because of the women's knowledge of their own bodies, not because they're respected by their doctors. I would like to say that more and more doctors understand the importance of listening to the women in their offices, talking to them about the birth control options they want.
Right.
I wish that were the case. I want to say that I've seen some evidence that direction, but as our listener is telling us right now, it's still a hard slog, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for calling, and call again sometime, please.
Did you have anything else to add, Laura?
No, thanks.
Okay, well, thanks so much.
Goodbye. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. You are listening to Positively Revolting on KBOO in Portland. I am Lynn. I'm here with Ani. There's all kinds of way to get in touch with us. We have Positively Revolting Enunciate on Facebook. We have Positively Revolting at gmail.com. Or as I said, you can call us right here live in the studio. I would love to hear women and their experiences in the healthcare system with their reproductive rights. 503-231-8187. You know, I was looking at the map. They have this whole site about maps, about where, about mandatory waiting periods, waiting period for less than 24 hours. They haven't put the wonderful, don't see the states that, is Texas the only one that makes you have a, a vaginal ultrasound?
I don't believe they are the only ones. I believe that that also happens in one of the Dakotas. Help me out, good listeners. Help me out.
Also, look up on Gary Larson's website. He did, in fact, it was banned from the Oregonian, which is now, of course, mostly defunct. He was a really great cartoon about the vaginal ultrasound, which is basically, to my mind, sort of vaginal rape.
Well, there's consent. It's just, it gets really kind of crazy. It gets really kind of crazy. North Carolina lawmakers pass abortion clinic legislation. This is, of course, the breaking news we started out with this morning. It just passed yesterday. North Carolina lawmakers joining other states in passing new restrictions on abortion providers over the objection of rights groups. And have now sent the measure on to Republican Governor Pat McCrory, who supports it and says he'll sign it. This is from an article out of Bloomberg. The Republican-led Senate passed the bill in Raleigh after the House of Representatives approved it in earlier July. The measure lets the state make abortion clinics meet structural requirements similar to those for outpatient surgery centers, which is a step opponents say may lead many to close down. It goes on from there, but let's just go ahead and note, not good news in our struggles. Not good news in our struggles. 503-231-8187, the number to call this morning, just like Allison has. Good morning, Allison. Welcome to Cable.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, you're on
What's
the air.
What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Yeah, hi. Good morning. I'd like to make a comment only because I believe that, yeah, women need to have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be in control of the decisions made about their body. That's like a human right that we need. However, mm-hmm. I do believe also that women need to know how to take responsibility as well. If they are making the effort and doing what they can to take responsibility or, prevent a situation where they get pregnant as a mistake. In other words, you know, they can prevent some of that mishap if, you know, they take their proper precautions. In other words, if they don't, you know, take responsibility for you know.
What should happen?
Well, if they don't take responsibility for getting pregnant, then it's like, how can they say, hey, oh, all of a sudden I need this abortion because it's more convenient? That's just not fair to the
okay.
baby.
Let me back up a couple of different steps because I want to work this one out with you because this is really quite common. It's something that it's a good discussion to have. So if a woman... let's just go ahead. Let's look at it from a couple different sides. If a woman does not use contraceptives, if a woman, and we're going to go ahead and then assume the man's not using them either, right?
Yeah, we hardly ever talked about the man's responsibility.
Right. That's a little side note I just wanted to bring in. But say contraceptives are not used. Woohoo! Something happens. There is a joyous meeting. My gosh, things just sort of run out of control. Oh, wow, how do these things, occur? And pregnancy ensues. Because she did not access any preventative measures, what do you think should happen?
Well, if they were, you know, consenting adults, they need to take responsibility for their actions. And I don't think that...
What does that mean?
I don't think the little baby has to be put, should be put in a little, I mean, in a little position. They shouldn't, the child shouldn't be put in a position where it has to end its life because these people change their minds.
Okay, so now a couple of things. One, if the woman has accessed those contraceptives, say, because there is no 100% manner of birth control, pills are about 98% effective. Condoms and spermicide are about 98% effective. IUDs dropping down to about 90%. You know, all of you, we can go on and on down all the lists. But, you know, if something's not 100% effective, things happen, right? That's why.
Yeah, but now.
So, but they've, like, but they've tried. They've tried to take responsibility.
Well,
so now what happens?
Well, in that taking responsibility, they know, just like you have said, that if they're not 100% effective, there's that chance. So, again, they need to take responsibility that if the miracle happens, then it does.
So,
it's just that we could eliminate so much of some of this problem if these adults would take responsibility for their actions.
All right, so in either event, whether the woman accesses birth control, and again, the man should be talking about some birth control here somewhere too, right? But whether there's birth control accessed or not, you're saying abortion really shouldn't be an option because, in fact, either she has failed to take responsibility and therefore the embryo should be able to come to fruition and be born into this world because the woman has failed in some way morally to prevent it from happening.
Not so much morally, but again, it's like...
You said she didn't try.
It's a tough spot, but we know that birth control doesn't work in all cases, okay? If
they
know that, then they know there's a chance and a risk of pregnancy. So then if that happens, then they have to be willing to take on that part of the responsibility as long as they had...
What does that mean to you? Take on that part of the responsibility means they become parents. Is that what that means?
That's right. And then, you know, yeah, and you're responsible for the child and the birth of the child and everything else. So...
you do the deed, then chances are you're going to become a parent sometime.
Yeah, and that's just, our society has over the years developed to where it's okay just to do some stuff, but not take responsibility for the long-term action. So,
I don't understand. What do you mean by that? Let's unpack that a little bit. It's okay to do some stuff? Do you mean have sex?
Okay. In other words, it's okay to have sex, but if something...
It's not
happens,
just our society, really. It's been okay to have sex for most of human history.
Right, well... As far as that, you know, to excuse that, oh, gee, you know, you had sex, you know, and it was that was okay, but oh, now you have a baby, and so then it's like becomes too excused over the. It's become too excused to say, oh, gee, you know, that was the problem part, and you didn't have to deal with it, and it's not.
So you don't actually believe a woman should be able to access abortion. For any reason?
No, I don't. Not 100%, because some cases are where it's a totally not an option to necessarily continue on with what had maybe traumatized the person, the woman, to make her pregnant, make her.
Are you talking about cases of rape and incest?
Rape, incest, force, or
force and rape are the same things, right?
Yeah, you know, and it's like, but on the other hand, our medical profession is so advanced. Why isn't there a way maybe to even for that, for our society to take responsibility and instead of abortion, maybe just transfer the baby into a surrogate who'd want to have the baby? There's never, you know, you don't hear a lot about that, but you hear a lot of the Christian right. You know, making the rules and saying you got to have it and everything. Well, it's like, well, then not. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but it's almost like then why don't they take care of the
situation? Whoopi Goldberg said she wanted to take those babies to those people's doorsteps and just drop them off.
Oh, there's that. Hey, Allison, it's been an interesting discussion. I got to say, I very much disagree with you, but I think it's an interesting discussion, and I think it's important that we're able to tease out what it is that you mean and what it is, you know, that I mean. I believe, and again, I come at this from a point of view of having talked to scores of women, hundreds of women, who have been in the position of making this decision. And I have seen women who have actually had tubal ligations, whose husbands have had vasectomies, also not 100% effective, who find themselves pregnant after taking every precaution they thought they could possibly take, who realize, in fact, that in their perspectives, in their world, in their reality, that's not a baby waiting to be born. It is, in fact, a medical condition. It is, in fact, a process that happens. It is a pregnancy, and the pregnancy has an embryo, and the embryo can, in fact, well, you know, be shed before term, and life continues onwards for the actual living, breathing adults, and they may or may not decide, you know, to look into how to rear children. Perhaps they've already raised a family. Perhaps it's never been of interest to either of them. Perhaps they have interactions in multi-generational situations in different ways. But again, that is such a personal decision.
It's definitely case by case. Yeah, I think that, and overall, when everybody's generalizing, that they could eliminate some of the problem if people would take more responsibility and the community would help out a little more. Just like I remember hearing earlier this morning that it's so difficult after the baby is born that oftentimes there's no support system for the mom.
Absolutely.
And the baby is facing, you know, all these risks that they have to deal with in our society,
right,
in the world. And it's like a lot of parents just don't want to bring a child in this world because this world is so oftentimes so terrible.
Well, it's got some challenges, to be sure.
Yeah, and then, you know, and it's just like, I think it's a lot of that stress that people mm-hmm. don't want to make the matter worse on anyone, and so they think it's a lot easier if they just don't bring a child in the world to have to deal with.
Well, again, I think it's a very personal decision as to why somebody would make that decision, you know, as to whether it makes sense for them to bring a child in the world or not. So me, from my position, I'm sure it's not going to tell them what's appropriate for them, right?
True, you can't.
Because they only know their circumstances.
Yeah, but it's just like if you take on any relationship or anything, I think that you have to look at the whole relationship and everything that could come with it. And, you know, to say, oh, we can always have sex and never even think about having kids. I mean, it's always just, you know, about sex. Well, the thing is just God-given, naturally, sex is for oftentimes procreation.
But it does result in it at times, doesn't it? Okay, Allison, we're going to let you go because we have a few other folks. But thank you ever so much for the call.
Thank you for being there and trying to advocate for everybody's point of view, actually. You have a tough job.
Thanks very much. I want to mention something, and it's about language.
Mm-hmm.
A couple things about language. One, when I'm talking about an embryo, when I'm talking about a fetus, notice I'm not using the word baby. Babies are born. Babies come into this world. They take a breath. They are now a human being along with the rest of us. To me,
there's a huge debate.
That is the process, right? Mm-hmm. And in culture after culture, looking at it historically, looking cross-culturally, cross-time, you'll find that different cultures have different times that they consider another human being to be valid in this world. Some of it is actually while that fetus is still within utero, many of them have been at some point after the fetus is born into this world. It's an interesting multicultural sort of mindset. Try to check that out. See when different cultures think that people are actually people and viable.
Some parents believe that life begins when the children leave the house. But that's another story.
Well, every sperm is sacred. I mean, every culture throughout time has a different take on this. And so I want to be very careful to always use the words, in fact, embryo and fetus when we're talking about in utero, because that's, to me, not a baby. Even when I'm delighted that my friends are pregnant, I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I rub their tummies and say hi to their embryos. Okay. I also want to say this about that. North Dakota State Fair. I don't know if anyone else noticed this tasty little piece.
Oh, good. I was hoping you
would mention that. Squeezably soft fetus toys slipped into kids' candy bags at the North Dakota State Fair. What am I talking about?
I know. And
well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. There's a group of North Dakota folk who are, let's just say, vehemently anti-choice and have, in fact, lost their minds. No, they lost their bid in federal court to ban abortions at 6 weeks. It was unconstitutional, said a federal judge. Go imagine. But it hasn't stopped them from trying everything they can to win hearts and minds out there to turn against abortion. So, in a particularly...
Did they want to see a lot of five-year-olds go, ew!
Well, I think that's what they got. So this is, again, an article from Alternate. It's by Janet Allen from this week. I cannot recommend it enough. As the article states, in a particularly creepy ploy, anti-choicers slipped squishy fetus toys into children's candy bags. The doll, called The Precious One, is manufactured by the Heritage House, a pro-life store. It retails for $1.50 a piece.
I thought it would be a snowflake.
$1.50 a piece, less if you buy them in bulk, which apparently those fine anti-choicers did, since there were a whole lot of 5 and 6 year olds running around squeezing and throwing and tossing to the ground squeezable fetus toys at the fair. One mother that attended was quite offended. She said that she's somewhere in the middle of things when it comes to her ideas on abortion, but she feels that her rights as a parent were compromised at the parade when her children were handed fetus dolls along with informational pamphlets that include lines like, week one, conception. The baby is smaller than a grain of sugar, but the instructions are present for all that this person will ever become. The person who was asked, Amber Mendez, says that my kids can read, she says. I shouldn't have to explain to 5 and 6 year olds what abortion is at a family event. I doubt these people would be allowed to hand out condoms to little kids, but it's okay for them to walk up and talk to my kids about abortion without my permission. So there's that. just wanted to throw that in there, as it were, so to speak.
No, that was delightful.
Yeah. Okay, onwards, shall we?
I believe we have Doug on the line. Doug, welcome to Positively Revolting.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not a child's issue.
I'm sorry?
Excuse me?
It's not a child's issue, you know. You shouldn't be giving out these things that say, oh, this is, you know, you made it through babyhood and now you're a child.
So I know.
Here, have this, you know, and
go squish it somewhere.
Is it a squeeze toy, you said?
It's squeezy, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's not a child's issue, but it is kind of like a baby's issue, you know, but it's not a child's issue.
Yep. So what else did you have to say, Doug?
Well, I don't know. You kind of lost me with all that stuff, you know, but I was thinking, because is it a sociology issue, you know, like, because I took a sociology class and
I live in society.
I totally dropped out of the class, you know.
But you still live in society. So what a sociological issue?
What?
Is what a sociological issue?
Abortion.
Sure, it's a sociological issue. Sociological issues are things that society gathers around and tries to fathom out, right? It's the rules that we make up and that we live by.
It's not really for guys to talk about. It's like maybe a doctor or something, but not me.
Okay. Well, I've always thought that, but... Radio. Thanks very much for calling, Doug.
Bye.
All right. Take care. Cheers. And Harry on the line now. Good morning, Harry. You're on the air.
Greetings, ladies. How are you today?
We're good.
We're doing fine, gentlemen. And,
well, on the left side of the FM dial is all these community radio and nonprofit radio stations. But here in Portland, the very first radio station is Mother Angelica's EWTN Catholic Radio Station.
Uh-huh.
And the big, I listen to it every once in a while,
mm-hmm.
and the big thing that's going on in the Catholic world is two things. In Ireland, they passed a law to allow abortion.
Well, only if you're, I believe only if it's the life of the mother is in jeopardy.
Oh, okay.
They probably didn't fill in that part of the sentence.
Oh, okay. And the next thing, they're still upset at Obama for his compromise on the insurance for
birth control.
Birth control, yes. And they're still upset about him about that, even though it was pretty good. The insurance company was going to take care of everything, but
and I believe your employer has something to say about that these days, also.
Yeah, that's true. But like I said, the Catholic world is here, at least here in the United States, they're still upset at Obama about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all I have to say.
Well,
all
thank right. you for hey, the thanks very thank much you for call listening. This morning, so we Harry. Didn't have to, Harry. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
You take care. 503-231-8187, the number to call this morning. Kristen, thank you for emailing again. Kristen points out that she had never met a woman who has had an abortion who has taken that decision casually, like, oh, I don't know, I think I'm pregnant, maybe I'll get an abortion. Yeah, that sounds good.
I'm going
after
out
that,
for
we'll
a quart
do,
of milk, and yeah, then I'll get an abortion.
Yeah, maybe manicure, but oh, the abortion first, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, sort of errands to run on a Saturday morning. Doesn't happen. And that has sort of been implied around the edges a couple times that, well, you know, these women, they're silly, they don't take responsibility, and they just conveniently get an abortion. And again, working in an abortion clinic for 4 years, talking to hundreds of women, I've never met any woman with that attitude. And Kristen, thank you for backing me up on that, writing on in and saying that you have not ever met that woman either. Thanks very much. 503-231-8187, the number to call. You can also hit us up on Facebook. Facebook, you can find us, facebook.com/positivelyrevolting is how you can join. Like us on Facebook, like our fan page, join in the conversation all week long. Of course, you can call us now, live in studio.
And the subject this morning, if you have just tuned in, is reproductive rights. And it's something that we've done before, and we promised we would revisit, so that's what we've been doing
and
this morning.
And we will be revisiting again, I think. So, yeah, Joe, you're on the line. Thank you very much for calling. You're on the air.
Gentlemen, who's ever out there listening, I believe we should recite from a bumper sticker I remember reading on a number of cars about 30 years ago, and it said, "Dear Lord, please save me from your followers."
Yep. I had that on a pin.
And if you want to, you know, if you want to indulge in your own form of insanity, that's fine. Don't shove it down my throat. Yeah. And, you know, all these so-called good Christians and the other people that oppose abortion, they love the fetus, they hate the child. Once the child gets out, he's basically just cannon fodder for the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sucks so much about this. So, and see, I think the religious people got kind of co-opted by the military-industrial complex because they do need a fresh supply of pawns to play in their game. You know, they need the people that'll, you know, go out there and do the dirty work for them. And then when they get done with these people and ask a lot of the vets, I mean, look at what they did to the Oregon National Guardsmen who were inhaling hexavalent chromium, which is a very powerful carcinogen. And they use you and abuse you and throw you away like an old Kleenex. And so, but they've co-opted, I think is the right word. Anyway,
no worship of life there, eh?
Yeah, and then I think what they do is they just figured, hey, this is a steady supply of soldiers for us. Let's not goof it up. We'll keep these people, barefoot and pregnant and keep popping out more soldiers for us because that's,
yeah.
And the minimum wage should be somewhere around $19 to $23 an hour if it would have kept in rate of what the, when I got my first job in 1968 for a buck and a quarter an hour, that was a fair, yeah. That was a minimum wage back then.
Well, bringing it on back home to reproductive health, reproductive choices.
And we can thank Reagan for all that too, because he took away the cost of living. And so that's part of this deal of why some of these women probably do have abortions, because they can't afford the child because the wages are so stagnant.
We have 12 minutes left in the show, and this is the point I'm going to jump in and say thank you.
Thank you.
We were wanting to get to the larger issue of reproductive rights and reproductive choices as a whole. And every time I try to go there, we get mired in abortion, for it or against it. And to me, that's sort of an unsatisfying point to get stuck in, an important point, but rather unsatisfying, because, in fact, what is driving these choices? Well, some women actually feel like they do not want to carry a pregnancy to term. This is not a part of their life's mission and goal here on this planet. And as somebody who has control over their own body, they should not be forced to. There are other women, however, who would react to circumstances quite differently if, in fact, this society had any kind of safety net whatsoever. We don't have safety nets for adults, and we sure as heck don't have safety nets for small children. We don't have child care provided. We don't have paid parental leave as a nation. Some employers give it, but only some. So how is it exactly that you were supposed to be an economic force of productivity in this economy and actually take care of your child at the same time? How does that happen in this society? It can't. You know, so either you have the ability to have a couple of incomes, to find some sort of childcare solution, or you decide you can get by on one income and you have another person who can dedicate full-time raising of said child. There are many of these issues. There's, of course, the healthcare situation, and can the kid, once it's born, actually access healthcare? All of these things play into it. Is there support? Is there a scorn for the person who's potentially a mother because, in fact, she was doing this out of wedlock and comes from a conservative area? Maybe some circumstances around the conception may be of issue. All of these things that never get addressed.
It's complicated.
It's very complicated, but economics plays into it hugely.
Huge.
And I really wanted to thank you for bringing that up. And I wonder how it's affected again when we look at the fact that in the last 5 years, we know that women are still making 77 cents to the dollar that a man makes. So again, how does that factor into it?
And that, folks, you need you need a two income household. So who is taking
care of the
child?
You need a two income household to raise a cat.
I know.
All right. So anyway, thank you very much for your call this morning.
So we've got a full slate of callers here, and we're running out of show, as Lisa Loving would say. So, Crystal.
Good morning, Crystal.
Good morning.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks so much. So in that beautiful long list that you just listed off, one of the things that I didn't hear that I think is a really difficult conversation is population, exponential growth of population. And I think that when we look at reproductive rights, it's sort of a side topic that's avoided is our overpopulation problem in this world and how those two things go hand in hand. And that the more that we restrict access to our choices around choosing to not be a reproducer, you know, if people don't want to reproduce, that should be their right to not want to be a reproducer or a producer and making children.
Some people say breeders. It's okay. You can say that.
I've said it.
So that wasn't the point of why I wanted to call, but I wanted to add that to the list. I think that
okay.
This is so, really important thing.
Excellent. And I totally agree. So we have, we're kind of running out of show. We want to hear your point.
Thank you so much. So my point is, being a woman who's grown up in the age of abortion freedom, I took those choices into my hands and used them wisely in the moments that they were. And in retrospect, what I realize is that sometimes those choices were all too easy. And so as much as I want everybody to have access to reproductive freedom, I really want to have some way without there being just the religious right saying no, because I responded to like, oh, I don't want to be part of the religious right. But I do want there to be time for a person to really like pause into the decision. And this is life that you're considering. And
again, I got to say, I don't know any woman that has ever made that decision lightly or without significant consideration.
It's true, and I will say that when I made those decisions, it was all too easy to say yes to abortion. And that when my best friend and I reflect on the decision that I made, we're like, yeah, just, you know, it was a little bit too easy.
Well, and, you know, I've had those discussions with friends and with myself, and I find in certain stages of life and what is going on in your life, there can be this sort of nostalgia that happens, and then you might later on go, "Whoa, that was really the best." I mean, you can even have changes in how you feel about your decision can go. Can bounce one way at this point, and then a few years later on down the line can bounce the other way. So don't despair too much.
Right.
Okay? Just from someone who's old and can tell you these things. That it doesn't always...
Everybody needs an Aunt Lynn.
Yeah. So it depends on the stage of life that you're in, and I think you'll find out probably it was a really good decision.
Now, you know, we made it for economic reasons. We both got mm-hmm. home and he had just lost his job and, became unemployed. And, you know, we thought, wow, we have both of our lives in front of us and we really need to, you know, this right. is the time where we're about to really make our careers happen. So we made the choice to move in that direction. And, yeah, it was a big choice.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It is. And I thank you very much for calling in this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks. We have only 4 minutes left. I want to try to squeeze. Let's squeeze in Charis. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. You maybe are on the air. Nope, perhaps nope. Not. Let's squeeze in Catherine. You will be the last call of the day. Oh, Catherine has gone away, which is probably just as well because we only have 1 minute left. And, you know, let's just say we probably should do that wrapping up thing.
What a fine idea.
Okay, okay. So, after you.
So wrapping up, once again, we have opened this can of worms that it's an important thing to open, the reproductive rights issue. We're going to visit this again, and I want to thank, we had just bunches of new callers today, and yeah, I would really like
totally
to thank
cool.
all of you and invite you to call again. Wait, we've got a caller.
I didn't even get into my favorite article of the week, which is, I'm just going to ask the question, what makes radical Christians, fundamentalist right-wingers, think it's ever, ever, ever okay to call a 14-year-old girl a whore? I want to know. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, there is a girl who wrote a sign that I cannot possibly say on the air. But she was protesting at the Texas State Capitol. And she was, about the incredible restrictions on a woman's right to abortion in Texas, regardless of Wendy's filibuster and heroic efforts, I got to say. But in fact, a 14-year-old girl stood out with her dad. You know, he gave permission. It's a family thing going on. Engage in democracy. Jesus isn't a word here. I'm not gonna say it. I can't even figure out how to translate for radio. But since this picture of her holding yes. a sign, or her friend holding her sign, radical Christian right wingers have been, in fact, insulting her, calling her a whore and other rather horrible things. And in fact, one of them apparently at the protest jumped in her face, told her she should shave her head, that she was ugly, and she should become a lesbian because no man would ever want her. What the heck is wrong with a group of people who believe strongly in a religious ideology, but are so completely insulting and I have no words. How is that okay to call a 14-year-old girl a whore?
Mental floss.
Okay,
they
there
need
I am.
Mental floss.
That's my ending rant for the morning.
And indeed, and this has been Positively Revolting. We appreciate, like I said, once again, we really appreciate your calls this morning. We will revisit this again, and next week we'll be visiting another topic that will be timely, I presume. Thank you so much, and off we go, out we go
into
for the next
the wild
week.
Blue yonder.
Out into the wild blue yonder.
See you in August.
Bye-bye. Desire.
cracks, open the gate. If you're ready, it will take you through. And nothing lasts forever. Time is the destroyer. The wheel turns again and again. Watch out, it will take you through. And nothing dies forever. Nature is the renewer. The wheel turns again and again. If you're ready, it will take you through. Where there's fear, there is power. Passion is the healer. Desire cracks open the gate. If you're ready, it will take you through. And nothing lasts forever. Time is the destroyer. The wheel turns again and again. Watch out, it will take you through. And nothing does.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor What the Festival, July 26th through 28th, 2013, at Wolf Run Ranch in Oregon. Featuring over 50 electronic and dance artists, including Purity Ring, A-Track, RJD2, and Tycho, as well as on-site art installations, a hookah lounge, and splash pool. That's July 26th through 28th, 2013, at Wolf Run Ranch in Oregon. Tickets on sale now at whatthefestival.com.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is approximately 9 a.m. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on One Land Many Voices, hosts Zaha Hassan and Ned Roche speak with local retired physician Bonnie Reagan about her trip to the Middle East. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints features an update on the Bradley Manning trial, and at 11, Rosalie Regal talks about her life as an oral historian and activist. This is all coming up this morning on Progressive Talk Radio for Portland, KBOO.